grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Distracted, worried, busy, anxious, troubled. Do any of these words resonate with any of you today or at other times? They sure do for me. Some days when I look around, I think that perhaps our world has gone a little bit crazy with busyness. Whether that's the demands of work and a busy career, or if you have kids, or if you are a kid, you might find that you're running between activities and practices, spending hours in the car, meals squeezed in on the road in between things. I guarantee there are French fries hiding in the small spaces in my car right now as we speak. Some people might find themselves being sandwiched between two generations, raising up teenagers while starting to care for ailing or aging parents. Or maybe some of us here are empty nesters who are used to this crazy busy lifestyle and now looking around going, whoa, this is weird. It's kind of quiet here. Or maybe you're chronologically gifted and you look around at all this happening and think with wisdom, you all need to slow down a little bit. But as we look at this world, busyness is all around us. If you want to see real busyness, talk to a high school student and you will hear stories that might terrify you about how much they can get done in one day. Plus, in today's world, we have extra pressure, right? I have to make time to check Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and Snapchat. Just kidding, I'm too old for Snapchat. We all know that, but you get it. You see people doing this all the time. But in all seriousness, this spring in late May, my wife Gail and I were sitting down. We were trying to find a day to get on the calendar to spend with another family that we are dear friends with, but we haven't been able to see for a long time. And as we were looking at our calendar for the summer, we had to say to them, this was in May, I'm sorry, our calendar is full, literally full until mid-August. We didn't have a single day open that we could spend with friends. I've been so busy this summer. Maybe some of you can relate, or if not you, you know people who are. But working hard, keeping busy, this is a biblical thing, right? This is what we're supposed to do. How many of you had parents who had a clever saying about keeping busy and staying out of trouble or building character when you were a kid? Anyone? I know I did. My dad had a few choice sayings, in fact. The thing is, we're designed to work, to be productive, to till the soil, to care for the earth, to bear fruit. We see this in Scripture in Genesis chapter 1 when God creates everything that is and then creates male and female, man and woman, creates humanity in God's image. God says, be fruitful and multiply and take care of the earth. And if you read through the book of Psalms, there are a number of places we see us being told how to work hard and to do this. Chapter 6 in Proverbs says, go to the ant, you lazy bones. Consider its ways and be wise. That's always a hit in sixth grade confirmation class. Proverbs 12 says, to those who till their land will have plenty of food, but those who follow worthless pursuits have no sense. Again, in Proverbs 14, we hear this, in all toil there is profit, but mere talk leads only to poverty, which is interesting considering our gospel text today, right? But then there are other places in Scripture. We see, again in Genesis, God commands the Sabbath, and on the seventh day after God creates everything, God rests. And then we see this idea of Sabbath all throughout the Old Testament, and in Sinai when the law came down with Moses, again repeated in Deuteronomy, keep the Sabbath day and you shall do no work. Or one of my favorite verses, Psalm 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. So which is it then, God? Are we to work hard all the time? Are we to rest and just be still? The answer, of course, is probably some form of balance, right? So we notice the rhythm of creation, the ordering of the universe that God shows us in the Genesis stories. And we hear a piece of this in Colossians today, too. 6 days of labor and toil, and then there was rest, and then there was Sabbath. It's interesting, though, here, because God, in the creation story, works first, gets everything done, and only then does God rest. But we see something different in the story of Mary and Martha today. It's kind of the opposite. But before we dive into that, I want to look at who these women were a little bit. You see, this isn't the first and only place they show up in the gospel stories. Mary and Martha, these sisters, we learn in John's gospel that they're the sisters of Lazarus, the one whom Jesus raised from the dead. And this also isn't the only place we see this dynamic of the hard-working, serving Martha with the seemingly not so much Mary. We see this in John's gospel as well. You see, a couple chapters after Lazarus was raised from the dead, Jesus and the disciples come back through town, Bethany, where they lived, and it says that they came to their house and they had a meal for them. They invited all of them in. And the text tells us in that story that Martha was busy serving. And this is the story where Mary takes a jar of perfume and dumps it on Jesus' feet and anoints him with this perfume and dries her feet with her hair. So this dynamic is a little bit common. Now, here's the thing. In that culture and context, hospitality mattered. Hospitality was a big deal. Welcoming a visitor, welcoming even a stranger, offering them food and drink, even shelter and protection was a huge deal in the Old Testament. They didn't have police and rules and regulations to keep people safe, so hospitality was part of what mattered. And we see this all throughout the Old Testament stories. We see it in the story with Abraham and Sarah today, right? They had these three strange men showed up, and they hurried around to provide a meal for them, to say, stay with us, let us feed you and care for you. And so Martha, in this story, is being responsible. She's doing exactly what she's supposed to do, both culturally and biblically. And Mary is not. She's not helping at all. I don't know about you, but any other responsible types out there, when they hear this story, start to identify with Martha and go, mm-hmm, come on, Mary. That's kind of how I get a little bit. And so I just imagine in the story, I can identify with Martha a little bit. I like to think I'm responsible, being the oldest child in my family growing up. And I can just see how this would work. She's working hard and seeing the younger sibling over here not doing any work. And so she probably comes in and she's passively, aggressively trying to be polite. And she serves a little thing here and she gives a dirty look to Mary, like one of those. And then she serves another thing. And then she gives a little grunt. And then she comes in a third time and probably does a dramatic throat clearing. Mary. And finally, she can't take the subtlety anymore, and she explodes and says, Jesus, don't you care that my sister is just sitting there? Tell her to help. And of course, Martha probably expects Jesus to say, oh, yeah, I hadn't noticed that. You better get up and help, Mary. But that's not what he says, is it? He says, Martha, Martha. Whenever I read that, I go, ooh, Jesus, you're going to be in trouble, because I know how that would go down in my family. He says, you are distracted. She has chosen better. I have to wonder what is going on here. And it's interesting that we don't know what happens next in the story. I think that's on purpose. I mean, perhaps Martha said, oh, Jesus, you're right, I see your point, and she sat down calmly. She may have also said some other words that aren't as church appropriate, so Luke just left those out, and we get to imagine. But what's so shocking to me in the story is that Martha is doing the right things. She's doing good things. And in case we were wondering, this idea is really hit home in verse 40. We miss this in the English translation. It says, she was distracted by her many tasks. The Greek word there for many tasks is actually diakonia, which is the word for service or ministry. So saying she was distracted by her serving, by her ministry. Yet Jesus says Mary has chosen the better part. So it makes me wonder, how is sitting better than serving? How is listening better than doing ministry? I'm reminded of a verse that Jesus himself quotes at one point from Deuteronomy chapter 8, where Moses is talking to the people and says that people cannot live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. See, maybe God can work first and then later rest and listen and reflect, but I think something inside us needs the opposite. We need to be filled, renewed, restored by God, the one who enables and empowers us to act and to work and to be fruitful and serve. And if we are busy and working just because, we can do that and we still get things done. We probably have many responsibilities and tasks, and we might even accomplish impressive things. But if we first sit at the feet of Jesus, spend time in prayer, time in God's word, first hear from God and listen, and then we go out from that state to whatever we have before us, how much more fruitful and meaningful and even more powerful might our working be? Then what we do has holy purpose, it has divine meaning and direction, and we might just tap into what the Holy Spirit is already doing in the world, thus multiplying the fruitfulness of our efforts. And this isn't just an idea for if you're doing things in the church or if you're doing ministry. I love how Martin Luther talks about vocation. And anything we do, if we're doing it to the glory of God, then it is ministry. It is serving. Whether that you're a plumber or a truck driver or a teacher, it doesn't matter. It can be vocation. It can be serving God. So I don't think Jesus is criticizing Martha here for hard work. I don't think that's it at all. I think this story is simply reminding us that even when there are good things, important things to be done, sometimes there's something even more important we need to allow to have priority in our lives and to take time for that. I've said this before, and you'll probably hear me say it again, but sometimes we have to say no to good things so that we can say yes to great things that God is leading us toward. So as I read this story, it makes me ask this question: what distractions or even good things in our lives might God be calling us to put down so that we have space to say yes to great things God has for us? Now, you might be thinking, okay, Josh, that all sounds lovely, but I just don't think it's possible. How do you take time when there is no time left? How do you say no to things when there's responsibilities and things that are outside of our control? Well, I'm glad you asked, everyone. Good question. Sometimes we can say no. Sometimes we do have that ability. Sometimes we can and should prune things in our lives. One example that I can offer from our family is my little guys, our twins, they play soccer in a league twice a year. And they don't play on Sunday mornings, though. And thankfully, we found a league that is sort of respectful of that, and they don't very often schedule games on Sunday mornings. But for our family, that's just a non-negotiable. Their priority is here first on Sunday mornings. And that's one thing we can control. But there are other times we can't, right? We have work or we have other obligations that are beyond our control and that's set and we can't change that. And that's okay. One thing that I like to do in my life, not perfectly, but I try to at least, is I try to start my day off with three things. Number one is coffee. Number two is scripture. And number three is prayer. And that order is important, by the way. If you flip those around, it doesn't work as well, I've found. But there are some days when I get too busy, I think, and I skip over that part and I miss it. And then I find myself running around crazy all day, and I feel like I'm carrying this weight on my back, all the worry and stress with me, and I become, because of that, unfocused and therefore less productive, even though I may have spent the same amount of time. But the days that I do this, I find that I might have just as much work, just as much to deal with in front of me, but now I carry something different. Instead of this weight, I'm carrying a sense of peace, a sense of hope, sense of connectedness to God. See, part of sitting at Jesus' feet and beginning whatever our work is in the day ahead and listening and being still is remembering that God is God and we are not. That's why I love this psalm. Be still and know that I am God, God says to us. And there's so much freedom in this, that God is God. And I'm still going to give my all. I'm still going to give my 100%. But now when I do so, I remember I don't have to be perfect. There's mercy. There's grace. And most importantly, I'm not working alone. But the one who created the universe and holds it together is walking with me, walking with us. So my friends, I invite you this week to make that time to be still, to rest at the feet of our Lord Jesus, and let God be God. Amen.